Finally, I stumbled down into the subway and took it down to 49th Street. Not many people, but there was a blonde with long hair who reminded me of Faye. Heading toward the crosstown bus, I passed a liquor store, and without thinking about it, I went in and bought a fifth of gin. While I waited for the bus, I opened the bottle in the bag, as I had seen bums do, and I took a long, deep drink. It burned all the way down, but it felt good. I took another, just a sip, and by the time the bus came, I was bathed in a powerful, tingling sensation. I didn't take any more. I didn't want to get drunk now. When I got to the apartment, I knocked at Faye's door. There was no answer. I opened the door and looked in. She hadn't come in yet, but all the lights were on in the place. She didn't give a damn about anything. Why couldn't I be that way? I went to my own place to wait. I undressed, took a shower, and put on a robe. I prayed that this wouldn't be one of the nights that someone came home with her. About 2:30 in the morning, I heard her coming up the steps. I took my bottle, climbed out onto the fire escape, and slipped over to her window just as her front door opened. I hadn't intended to crouch there and watch. I was going to tap on the window. But as I raised my hand to make my presence known, I saw her kick her shoes off and twirl around happily. She went to the mirror and slowly, piece by piece, began to pull off her clothes in a private striptease. I took another drink, but I couldn't let her know I had been watching her. I went through my own apartment without turning on the lights. At first, I thought of inviting her over to my place, but everything was too neat and orderly, too many straight lines to erase, and I knew it wouldn't work here. So I went out into the hallway. I knocked at her door, softly at first, and then louder. "Door's open!" she shouted. She was in her underwear, lying on the floor, arms outstretched and legs up against the couch. She tilted her head back and looked at me upside down.
"Charlie, darling, why are you standing on your head?"
"Never mind," I said, pulling the bottle out of the paper bag. "The lines and boxes are too straight, and I thought you'd join me in erasing some of them."
"Best stuff in the world for that," she said. "If you concentrate on the warm spot that starts in the pit of your stomach, all the lines begin to melt."
"That's what's happening."
"Wonderful!"
She jumped to her feet. "Me too. I danced with too many squares tonight. Let's melt them all down." She picked up a glass, and I filled it for her. As she drank, I slipped my arm around her and toyed with the skin of her bare back.
"Hey there, boy. Whoa. What's up?"
"Me? I was waiting for you to come home." She backed away.
"Oh, wait a minute, Charlie boy. We've been through all this before. You know it doesn't do any good. I mean, you know I think a lot of you, and I'd drag you into bed in a minute if I thought there was a chance. But I don't want to get all worked up for nothing. It's not fair, Charlie."
"It'll be different tonight, I swear it." Before she could protest, I had her in my arms, kissing her, caressing her, overwhelming her with all the built-up excitement that was ready to tear me apart. I tried to unhook her brassiere, but I pulled too hard and the hook tore out.
"For God's sake, Charlie, my bra!"
"Don't worry about your bra," I choked, helping her to take it off. "I'll buy you a new one. I'm going to make up for the other times. I'm going to make love to you all night long."